Happy Friday, guys. Today is October 9th, 2020. Welcome to Right Owl Politics. For those of you who are new to the show, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. Today, we're going to talk about the vice presidential debate between Vice President Mike Pence and Senator Kamala Harris. It was an interesting night. I think it's a preview of years to come post-Trump, how political debates are going to unfold in this country. Very fact-driven, lots of personality from both debaters, and we really got to see the stark difference between the progressive Democrat Party and the conservative, square, if we want to use that term, Republican Party. So it was a nice contrast to see that on stage play out. Both did a reasonably good job supporting their number one, Harris for Biden, Pence for Trump. So both did a good job for their campaigns. Of course, we can disagree on who won, but we'll leave that to the discussion to dissect. And I also wanted to discuss the impact of the announcement that the second presidential debate that was originally scheduled to take place in a town hall setting in Miami, Florida, has been announced will go virtual. So we'll discuss that as well. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Lots to talk about. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
So did you watch the debate?
Yes, I did watch the debate. And it was kind of like that. It kind of reminded me of the old times where things were civil.
Yeah, I think we just got a preview of what life will be after Trump.
Yeah. I think that was and it was just, it was a little hard to watch sometimes, but overall I didn't have to get over it the next day. It didn't feel like I had a hangover the next day.
The real star of the debate was the fly on Pence's hair.
Can we not talk about the stupid fly? I didn't even notice the stupid fly until I went to social media. And all these Democrats are like, oh my God, we should give the fly like the best donations for Biden because the fly is amazing. And I'm just like, you guys are that single-minded.
Yes, they are.
But seriously, I didn't even notice the stupid fly. I did not notice the stupid fly until I went to social media. That's how ridiculous I felt the stupid fly was.
You know how many times one of the fly landed on a public figure's face or head? There's multiple pictures, including of Obama, having a fly perched on his face.
You see, I didn't notice that either. And I didn't go on social media and be like, look at all this. Look at this stupid fly.
But the fly has a hashtag.
I know. And I believe me. And I just saw a lot of memes about the stupid fly. But it's okay. You know, listen, at the end of the day, if that's what they took away from the debate, then, you know, I'm so happy that I'm not that single-minded.
Well, you know what that tells you, though? It was boring. If the fly stole the show, it was boring. Biden-Harris ticket didn't make any significant statements, nor did the Trump-Pence ticket. That's what that means. Because if there was a really big comment that was made that was really earth-shattering, that would be the headline. If the fly is getting some love and attention, that means it's a big nothing burger.
I kind of disagree with that. I thought the debate was good. I enjoyed... I think it was important for people to see that Harris is not a nice person.
Well, she came across like really grumpy and unpleasant and extremely sarcastic, like the cattiness that women are known for in the workplace.
Yeah, she was very catty, very disrespectful in a lot of ways, and actually not play very well, especially to Hispanic voters, because you don't speak to that to your elders or people above your station like that. And I think that I was happy that that happened because, again, it just showed her in a very negative light.
Here's the thing, though. As a lawyer, I can't help but notice She was supposed to be a former prosecutor. This is the Attorney General of the great state of California, my home state. I expected a beast. I expected somebody who was going to be persuasive, effective in argument, have the right cadence. And it was botchy performance at best.
You got smirks. Didn't you like the smirks?
No, that was repugnant. What jury would look at that and go, oh, yes, that is very convincing. Yeah, I'm going to convict the opponent. I'm going to convict the defendant because of her smirks. Who would think that?
I was just besides myself. I looked at her and I was like, okay. And the worst part is, I mean, the worst part is that you look at this and it's just like, okay, so first I'm going to tell you a non-truth. And by the way, again, a very biased moderator. I'm not saying, although I will say that she did a magnificent job in comparison to Chris Wallace.
I was about to say, at least she gave parameters, and yeah, she was trying to interrupt them when they went on tangents, but it wasn't like she became a debater like Chris Wallace.
Yeah, she did not. Yeah, in that respect, I completely, absolutely have to say she did a great job. She did not debate the candidates. She did not take them to task about anything. She let them take each other to task, which is what a debate is about. Not the debater, the person who's moderating debate to take the debatee to task. So I think in that
But
respect.
I have to say this. She was better than Chris Wallace, and I liked her questions. Her questions were good. Unfortunately, none of the candidates, including Pence, were interested in answering the questions. It was extremely evident, especially with Harris, that the question about packing the court is a question Democrats refuse to answer, and they've refused to answer this not once, not twice, but several times in the public sphere. Did you just see the video of Biden saying, you will find out about my opinion about packing the court after the election?
I did not know that, and that's ridiculous. I'm supposed to know everything about what you want to do prior to election day, not the opposite.
I mean, I thought that's how elections worked. We know the issues, we know your position on the issues, and then we cast our vote.
No. But you know what, Ariana? I have a secret, and I can't tell you that secret until you confide and entrust the magnificent power of the presidency to me, and then I can tell you
Oh,
the
so it's like when you used to get your Happy Meals as a kid and then you didn't know what toy you were gonna get. It's that sort of thing.
Sure, except it's not
Okay.
toy, it's singular, it's going to be toys, plural, on
On the Supreme
the
Court.
Supreme Court.
Gotcha. But how do you feel? How did you feel about it overall?
Overall, it was pleasant to watch. Overall, I think Pence did a phenomenal job. I think I agree with you. I think that both, when I watched it, I in the back of my mind, they're not answering the questions, and they're basically just reiterating what their base wants them to hear. So there is nothing substantive. I mean, my favorite thing was when I went on to when I went to the news, when of course MSNBC and everything else. Oh my God, it was a substantive debate. Everyone did it. And I was like, I learned nothing new. Did you learn anything new?
No, but here's the thing. I think they were effective in that they were just backing up their number ones.
Correct.
So Pence never made it about him. Which Harris at one point did make it about her and her record as an attorney general, blah, blah, blah. But Pence knew what the game is. This is about Trump. This is about getting Trump reelected. So, as Trump's number one cheerleader, he knew how to deliver a solid performance in that regard. And you know what? I like Pence. He is the future of the Republican Party post Trump. I like the way he delivers zingers. With that, very calm and cool and collected demeanor. I like the way that he approaches heated debate and it's with facts. He's a little lackluster, and he's not a reality TV star, but usually politicians are not. So it's an interesting preview. I think I like it. It'll be a different dynamic But I have to say, I kind of miss Trump on the stage.
So I'll see a few things there, right? So I enjoyed his backing up of the president. I enjoyed what he had to say about a few things, and what I actually really loved, my favorite thing that he said that night is like, this is why most people hate the media, is because everyone spews lies about that stupid quote that you guys keep using against
Right.
him. Because in the same breath that he said there are good people on both sides, he then condemned white supremacists on the same breath. It wasn't like, oh, he said it 2 minutes later in the same speech. No, in the same sentence, if you continue the quote, you
Right.
will see that he condemned white supremacists. So this is done. We're done discussing this.
What do you think is the impact of a VP debate? Because my opinion is it's a big nothing burger as far as persuading voters.
So I think this goes back to the first debate question. I don't think that any debate at this point is going to sway any middle voter. There's no un and I don't know if there's any undecided voters out there. I really don't think there is. This is too decisive of an election that I really vehemently believe that there's not one person out there saying, who am I going to vote for? I don't know. And if they don't know, oh my God, do I really want them voting? And if they don't even know who the candidates are, do I really, really want them voting? I think that the issue is that this time around, this is a unique situation because previously, and I think that was the other issue I was going to bring up, my family once called the presidential debates as well as the presidential contest to be kind of a contest of whose crap didn't stink worse. So
Yes. Which one is less
exactly,
bad?
which one is less bad? And it therefore debates were interesting because you actually had to, it was hard to differentiate who was a dem who is the Democrat and who's the Republican and what they really stood for in terms of issues. So the debates were important because you can see where there were on those issues. But Trump does makes no he's not bashful about his opinions. And the Democrats have then become not so bashful about their opinions either. So therefore they're very clear. It's a very clear distinction as to who you're going to vote for in November. Yeah, I mean, you're not, there's no like, well, I kind of like the Democrat because he's a good person and we may disagree on a few points, but I like this guy. No, that's not happening this election. This election, you're saying, I hate the ideology that's presented in front of me, or I love the ideology that's presented in front of me, and I can't stand the other ideology. So that's what's happening this election.
Did you hear that the second debate will be virtual? And apparently Trump had a temper tantrum. He's like, I'm not
Oh,
going out.
I would have agreed with him completely. I am not gonna, I'm the president of the United States, and I am not gonna be debated on some willy-nilly computer.
Well, here's the thing. The problem is if he's on a computer, they'll cut him off. If he's on a computer, there's no way of keeping Biden accountable and making sure that he's not reading off a teleprompter, and or somebody's helping him, because that's the other one that's going to be the thing. So I don't understand this. If they were really concerned about Trump not being safe to be around people, because that's the argument that the debate commission put forward, that why not just push the debate back a week?
I mean, it's a little bit twofold, right? Unfortunately, to the left, the president is getting a lot better. He's healthy. He's doing well. He's back at the White House. He is beating COVID. COVID will be defeated with his own body. So by the time the debate comes, I don't think he's going to have any issues. And by the way, please put the plexiglass just like you did with the VP debate if you feel that. If you feel like that concerned for your life, and on top of and by the way, it was funny to see the following day all the list of doctors who said the plexiglass did nothing.
Great. So we just wasted
Yeah.
materials.
Hey, listen,
Awesome.
there's a great vendor out there who made a lot of money on those plexiglass, and we just gave him a nice, very, very nice year.
So let me ask you this. Trump said he's not going. Biden said that
He won a 10.
he won't attend, but he's open to, rescheduling it, right? In what world, and I need to, and I'm asking this to the debate commission, did they think that Donald J. Trump was going to agree to a virtual debate of Biden? In what
Well,
world?
that's the thing. I
Please.
mean, it's getting that biased where they know how to poke the bear, and they're trying to poke the bear, and the bear poke is poked, and then the bear yells back. And it's just political theater at this point. It's just all political theater, might be a point. You're not this. It's just like Chris Wallace. Dude, you've interviewed him 15 times in his presidency, and you decided that the day that you're going to debate him, that he suddenly changed and become a new man? And the same thing with the.
I miss that one. I miss that one. Yeah, it was one of those things where you're watching Wallace behave on stage, and it's like, where have you been for the
I
last
know.
5 years?
And it's just like, so it's become political theater. It's just, it is what it is. And they're just using, and they know they're going to get this response from Trump that's just going to antagonize the situation further. And they're just looking for news headlines. That being said, during the VP debate, I was having my own little debate with my aunt as I was watching it.
For listeners should know that I was not able to watch the debate live as it was happening. I had to catch it on the tail end.
Oh, you see,
And
I was gonna be
if
so
Carlos.
nice and not bring that up because, I'm a good American and you're not, but that's okay.
So Carlos was like, "Where are you? What's going on?" He's texting me. He's like, "What are you watching this?" And I'm like, "I'm handling a family situation here." But yeah. This is it. I'll be with you shortly, and then he goes and speaks to other people about it and gets mad.
Well, they got into trouble. I don't know. No, my aunt goes up and pleasantries are made. Like, for example, we're excited to watch the vice presidential debate. As a conservative, she likes Pence a lot because she's not as a you know she's not as brazened as Trump, and that Harris seems interesting to her because she's a female and she was a prosecutor, and then things went south. So, the worst part is that when you're having kind of this discussion and literally the economy becomes the main focal point, for it's so disingenuous to me for anyone to say, well, Biden doesn't really think he doesn't really agree with the new Green Deal. And then when you Google search Biden and Green New Deal, and the first result is his campaign website saying the new Green Deal is the tenets of Biden's plan for X, Y, and Z. And
Oops.
I'm just like, how? And then I just screenshot it. I was like, okay, so how, explain this to me. And she said, well, then you're just looking for headlines, Carlos. And I'm like, headlines come from periodicals, not your stupid campaign website.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes. But
It's
true,
like
but true, but true.
it's beyond measure. And by the way, for everyone to understand, no one was in a recession ever under President Trump's 4 years in office until the coronavirus. And we are not in, and we are in a, yes, we're in an economic contraction. We had to close the economy down for COVID. That does not mean that we're dead in the water. It just means that we're coming back. And I agree with the president. If things will come back greatly, I mean, we broke every record in the second quarter, in the third quarter, and I think we're going to break a lot of records in the fourth. To suggest to me, and the problem is like, oh, well, the president doesn't care that you're not, that you're jobless, that you're home, that you're so scared to do nothing. And I'm like, the president has been out and about trying to get people back to work and been forcing governors to open their states. I don't understand what you mean by that. Because, and my direct question to the Democrats is that if you're so scared about COVID, you want to take care of COVID first, how do you deal with the economic ramifications of what you think would be the saving grace for our nation? Because that is a huge question, and I don't think anyone's really properly asked that, because you cannot talk about COVID without talking about the economy. They are intertwined, because whatever you do will affect the other.
Well, to your point, here's a poll that came out from Gallup of all places. 56% of Americans say they are better off now under Trump than 4 years ago under Obama Biden. 56%, which is the highest percentage of approval ever recorded for Gallup in this category.
It is beyond measure how annoyingly, and the problem is, to be a little bit full disclosure, my aunt is a wealth manager, so it's like, really, were you crying for money? Was I crying for money in January? No, we were not crying for money. And by the way, you do not start and the, I use Democrats' own arguments against them because I obviously need them to realize their own stupidity. You go into this, you don't go into office from a contracted economy and say, I'm going to raise taxes, even if it's for the four, I don't care if it's just for above the $400,000, income line. When you come into office saying, I'm going to raise taxes, you are already telling the business sector, you're telling Wall Street, holy crap, start contracting because they're not going to be business friendly.
I want to emphasize this. That question, where are you better off, and exactly goes to your point about the economy and how it's doing. Even with coronavirus, Carlos, which shattered everybody's world economically, either you had still a job, thank goodness, but were at home and didn't know what was going to happen to your position. If you were in the service industry, you were furloughed, or in very dire situations, you were completely terminated. It affected everybody. But the fact that in September 2020, you still have 56% of Americans saying they're better off now than they were 4 years ago, though, that is amazing, Carlos. And you've seen it in your own industry, which is a very discretionary industry. You've told me about how it that people are spending money. So even with all these hurdles, people
Yeah,
are still pushing through.
and it is un I it's just not I just it's baffling to me. It's just baffling to me when they make that argument. And it's kind of very disingenuous when they start saying, well, again, if you think that you in Jan and I welcome to all listeners, January, tell me one person who was not doing well in January when we had virtually zero unemployment. Virtually, it was hard to hire people in January. And that is amazing. It's astounding. It's without, I don't think we've had that item. I mean, in my lifetime, I hadn't had that situation presented to me ever because I was growing in my, I was just becoming a man during the recession, the Great Recession. So, to have that kind of roaring economy is phenomenal. And on top of that, I think that. And it's not because I think it's not because I think that every action that Trump makes provides for that. It's simply the attitude of government in its perception, right? If I go to the negotiating table as your adversary, you're going to be on defensive and you're going to be ridiculous. But if I go onto the negotiating table as your business partner, and how can I help you? You're going to get a roaring economy. You're not going to get a roaring economy by getting on the stupid table and saying, well, 400,000 people, that many people make $400,000 a year. Those are the people I really want to tax heavily. Well, guess what? Now those $400,000 people are going to look for every way to show that they don't make $400,000, so they don't have to pay the tax.
Well, I literally had a conversation with my husband. I was like, Chris, you do understand that if Biden gets elected and he overturns the Trump tax cuts, you and I better find some ways of trying to, show that we need more tax write-offs, because if not, we're going to be taxed to Pluto. And it's kind of scary, because obviously, as young professionals, you're thinking, this should be an opportunity for growth for me. Not, I fear that Uncle Sam is going to be knocking on my door for more money, and you're trying to push through this recession period we're living in. That is a fear the American people
Yeah.
should
And
not
on
live
top of
with.
that, I mean, like I said, who goes into a, election year with a mini recession going on saying, I'm going to raise taxes? I just don't, it just baffles me that they are making that argument. It baffles me that they are actually, with a straight face saying it. And the worst part is that then they lie and say, we're not raising taxes. It's just like you just said you are. You are raising taxes, and
Right.
it's just beyond.
It's double speak. It's double speak, Carlos. That's what that's it is. They're used to doing that, and nobody holding them accountable. Accountability is a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing in everyday life. It's a difficult thing in the workplace, and it's definitely a difficult thing to find in politics.
It is, and I actually blame a little bit of that on Trump, but and the media, because they go at it so many times that there's no accountability, because they don't they neither one of them actually, there is no respectability anymore. So, and
Right.
that's mostly the media's fault, because of the fact that the media has the opportunity and also has the responsibility to take politicians to task. But when they start taking it to task with an agenda and becomes hostile to the person they're asking the questions, of course the person who's going to be answering the questions is going to either be, lame and try to negate the question, or they're going to do what Trump does, which is face the question head on and tell them that they're full of crap.
Well, I am very encouraged by that Gallup poll. I'm also encouraged by some polls coming out of Florida that have Trump leading. So we're seeing, I think, a dynamic change. And as we get closer to the November date, I think a lot of people are going to start making up their minds. So we're going to see where this takes us. But I'm very optimistic that Gallup poll gives me hope.
My concern is people like my aunt, who then said, well, I just don't like how he talks. And I was like, okay, well, I don't like how my teachers talk to me. I don't like how my bosses sometimes talk to me. I don't like how you talk to me sometimes. But his actions speak louder
But
than words. I mean,
here's the thing,
actions
that's
speak.
but did you know but did you notice just then what she told you? Like, that's very telling. It's not, oh, I like Biden more. It's just,
Exactly.
I don't like Trump. That for you should give you pause, Carlos, because it's not an endorsement. Oh, it's not like Obama syndrome, right? It's not like, oh, the Obama Kool-Aid, I love him, I love him, love him, love him, let me put a picture of him in my room sort of love. No, it's kind of, hey, do you want vanilla ice cream? And you're like, yeah, I guess. I don't like the alternative, I guess. It's not my favorite, but I'll
Yeah,
take it.
there. Well, I already knew that there was no, there is, there are no major emotions or major loyalties towards Biden in his party. I think that they're just trying to jam him through to hopeful. And by the way, I don't understand how that primary situation happened anyway. How do you go from a playing field of 10 people, and then you decided that you're all going to rally behind the oldest? Weakest debate person, and decide that he's the best person to go after Trump, which is a lie.
Well, I actually think this is the last boomer candidate generation we'll see. I think that both sides have a changing of the guard, and I think you'll see new people filling in those roles. I am telling you now, and look, take this down on a notepad. Cuomo will run for president next time around, and he's definitely not a boomer. So it's one of those things where you're slowly going to see a changing of the guard, and this is probably the last time you're going to see boomers on stage running for president.
I can agree. I agree with that. I think that also you're going to see a much, I mean, and the problem is that now we've opened the door for hostilic debate style and more heated arguments. So the younger you get them, the more heated it becomes, the more obtuse they can be say what they will say things because they're not as temp mild tempered as their older generation. So I can't wait for that to happen, and because it'll be at least more entertaining. The other thing is, I have to remind all listeners, regardless of who wins in November, and regardless of what the situation is, we are Americans. We're still united. We will be continue to be united. Just because I disagree with you doesn't mean I want any bodily harm on you, nor do I wish you ill will. A thing I wish all Democrats would say yes to, because they are the ones who are, I feel like they're the ones who really feel like they want physical bodily harm on our side should we win or should we not, or for just existing, which I think is wrong and is causing a lot of damage to our unity.
So, I think Generation X will be different. I think millennial candidates will also be very different. The way we just operate, the way we talk, the way we look at the world is different. So you're going to see a shift. The guerrilla warfare that the boomers had as far as politics, you are going to see a version of that adapted to each of those
Sure.
generations, unique traits, right? So I think the more things change, the more they stay the same, right? But you're definitely going to have a changing of the guard. I think this is the last hurrah for the boomers as far as electing a president. So I there's a moment there that I think we need to savor because we are witnessing the slow progression of time in politics, and we need to embrace it to a certain extent because I think it's going to change the political discussion. As it should, because there's going to be new debates and new volumes of debate. So it's something that it's going to be different post-Trump, and I believe that's going to be in 2024, just for the record. Post-Trump world will be very different from what we
Well, and I
currently are
also think that
experiencing.
it's a, in history, in American history, we block things based on not just one presidency or an extended presidency, but a few presidencies to describe the kind of thing or the kind of phenomenon that's going on in American history. Trump is the beginning of, I mean, I've actually, Obama would be the beginning of that transition to a different style of politics that we're normally used to. Historians are already writing about it. We're already discussing it. The idea that Obama, Trump, and whoever comes next will be the three presidents to define an era. And this new era is tumultuous, but this new era is also going to be a defining factor for the next six presidents after it. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. I'm as optimistic as you are. I definitely have a hope to God he 2024 2024 is Trump's last year in office. But that being said, as far as the baby boomer versus the other generations, I don't think it's generational that's going to be the ticketing the factor. I think it's the ideology that's going to be the factor. You're going to be seeing a lot, like I said, we're more decisive, we're more divided in a lot of topics. So I think it's no longer the cute, gentlemanly, statemently politics of the 90s and the early 2000s, and to a certain extent the late 80s. Now we're in pretty much war, political warfare of the of 2008 and on. So I think that's going to be that's so much. Now, agreed, there's you're not going to you're probably not going to get two old white men on the ticket ever again. And that is something to be recognized. But I don't think it's the age that's going to be the driving force of the next couple of or defining factor of American history for the next one. It's just the division, the mere division of ideology and how we and the way that we actually propose and promulgate laws and governance from here on. We shall see.
Well, we'll see,
Yes.
right? We'll see
Call
where life takes. You are leaving
I
Florida.
am going to
Which
Charleston,
state you're
South
in too?
Carolina. I'm going back to the South. I needed to get out of the big city for a little bit, and I'll be doing a road trip for anyone who's concerned about my health. I'm not going on a plane. I'm not going on a plane. I'm not going. I am taking a road trip. There will be there. Yes, I will still practice social distancing and wear my mask, even though there are certain states that I'll be traveling that will not be as respected to those rules either way. But it's time. It's time for it. It's you know, this year's been a little bit crazy and it's been very busy. So taking this time off is good just to relieve some of the stress that's been going on. Recharge the batteries, as they
Recharge the
say. Batteries. I already have two historical chores happening, and excited to eat at all the restaurants. I sent just foreclosure for everybody. I sent Ariana my itinerary, and now she's jealous, which is fine.
Yes, I'm very much jealous. It looks like a nice time.
Thank you.
Enjoy it in good health. Right, well, thank you for coming on the show, Carl. It's
Absolutely.
always a
Have
pleasure,
a
and we'll talk
great
to you
day.
next time.
Bye.
Thanks again, Carlos, for being on the show. We love having you on. Guys, remember, keep your eyes on the news. Keep an eye out for new developments. If you haven't made a decision about who you're voting for this upcoming November, do your homework. You still have time. There should be two more presidential debates, so that's an opportunity for you to get to know the candidates if you're still undecided. For those of you who have not registered to vote, look into your states to see if there's still time. And for those who have registered to vote, you're going to have to make a decision if you are living in a state that allows voting by mail, whether you're going to use that route or you're going to go in person. Take advantage of the voting schedules, early voting schedules, and make sure that your vote counts regardless of who you vote for. We want to make sure that people go out to vote. With that said, Trump 2020. And guys, thank you for tuning in. And remember, we're not your dad's political news show, so spread the word, tell your friends. Let them know that we're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and anywhere where you can get your podcast. We're available there. So have them look us up, listen in. We really appreciate it. So guys, thank you for again for tuning in, giving us your time, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye, guys.